Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Well, it's been a huge day in the pool for Australia. It's been a very big round of football. Scoot McClure's got the Olympics covered. Matthew Lloyd's got all matters football covered. And Jean Rooney, not far away from joining us. Scoot, you've had a big weekend in football and on the Olympics. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Jared. Oh, what a weekend of footy. What a weekend of sport. I got to say, it's obviously hard, and people in New South Wales and Victoria and South Australia will know being in lockdown. But we are blessed to be in lockdown at a time where there is so much sport to watch. Mm. And I think Channel 7 have been pretty good in their coverage.
Did you give Thorpe the votes today?
I thought the Thorpedo clearly got the three votes. Him calling what was going to happen in that race before it happened during the race,
yes,
was one of the great moments of the Olympics so far. But clearly the greatest moment was Ariane Titmus doing what we all thought she might do, but not thought that she actually would do, and that is knocking off Katie Ledecky in the Olympics in the 400. It was it was an amazing few minutes, Jared.
Yeah, it was exciting TV, exciting radio. I was listening in the car, I've got to say, Scoop.
Basil called it perfectly.
Yeah, Basil has risen to the moment.
Exemplary
call. Well played to Basil. Let's welcome this fellow for football. Give us your best Olympic moment to date, Lloydie.
It'd be that for sure, Jared. And I look forward to chatting to Gianna around. Was Kay Ledecky always going to try and break her
early?
That's what I found interesting, and how hard she powered home.
It was an amazing last 100.
It was,
wasn't it?
Magnificent.
Gian Rooney joins us live to talk all things Olympics. Of course, a gold medalist in Athens in 2004, two-time Sydney 2000 silver medalist. Gian, what a moment it was in the pool today.
Oh, hello, team. It was incredible. I think I joined the rest of Australia with saying that I am still buzzing. And how good is it at this time, feeling like we're all feeling, to have some joy? Because that's what sport does. When it's done well, when Ariane Titmus takes on the world and wins, it provides joy for all of us, and it was just a magical moment today. That race will go down in history as one of the greats.
Gian, can I just ask you, before the race, what chance did you give Ariane of actually knocking off Katie?
I said she'd win it. I'm working on Sunrise at the morning at the moment, and so every morning and we give our tips and our predictions. And I had spoken to Arnie earlier, before trials even this year, and I said, what do you think of? What is it going to take to win that 400? And she said, it's going to take a world record. And I believe it's going to take a world record to win that race. Mm-hmm. And whoever swims a world record wins it. She didn't have to go that fast, as it turns out this morning. But exactly how she has always executed her race is how she did it to win that final. And that's probably what I'm most proud of, in the fact that, let's face it, everyone has been tipping that showdown as the race of the swimming component of these Olympics. Ledecky versus Ariane Titmus. And with all the pressure, with all the build-up, with all the hype, she is still able to execute her race perfectly, which is to know that Ledecky always goes out hard. She always goes out hard. She breaks the hearts of every other competitor with her sheer will to go out hard and hang on. And once again, Arnie just held her nerve, knew that she had her if she could stay within reach for that final 100, and then turned on the afterburners and came home. It was magical.
Jean, we've got a bloke called Matthew Lloyd about to have a chat to you, and each and every Monday night he gives us his top seven of something. Would you be so kind to work on your top seven races of all time in the Olympics and share them with us at some stage before the swimming meet is out? Because I'd like to know where you have this victory for Arnie today as compared to, say, Kieran Perkins in 96, where he just qualified by a split second and came over the top. And just to remind us all of the great races that we do tend to forget over the journey.
Oh, my goodness. I can certainly try. Even some of them will be before I was alive. So
we'll keep it to the ones that you can remember.
Okay, perfect. In my living memory, where do I rate my top seven? I can tell you already that will be one of them. That was just given the history behind that showdown, given that Katie Ledecky, I believe, is the greatest women's distance swimmer we have ever seen.
Right.
Given that's the first time that she has been beaten at Olympic competition in the big ones that count. There is so much that has gone into it. The fact that this is the first time even an American film crew sent a camera and crew all the way over to Australia to follow Ariane Titmus. They spent 2 weeks in quarantine, did everything, just so that they could get footage of Arnie, knowing how big this showdown was going to be. There was a lot riding on that result this morning.
Well, now they might be following her coach for the next few weeks as well. He provided some entertainment. So has he always been that type of personality? Because I've never seen a reaction like it.
Dean Boxall, yes. I think it was Thorpey who said he's the common day Laurie Lawrence, and it's very apt. Dean is incredibly passionate, as you can tell. He is very emotional, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, and we're used to reactions like that from Dean. That's why there was a camera trained on him this morning with that final. He is so passionate. He's an incredibly motivating coach for his athletes day in, day out at training. And Arnie and Dean have been together for a long time now. There's a wonderful story about Arnie's family. The Titmuses moved from Tasmania when she was young to give her the best chance to chase her swimming dream. So they moved the whole family to Queensland, where they thought that she would have the best possible facilities, coaches, support network set up around her. And so it's been a huge journey for the whole family, and to watch her family watch her win that Olympic final means, I mean, as a, I can't even imagine what it's like for them to go, we were justified in making that move. Yes, you know, we've all benefited from it, but we were justified all those years ago uprooting the whole family and taking them to Queensland for Arnie to chase her dream.
Well, she's back in action tonight in the 200-metre free.
The rivalry heats up again, Jim.
Yeah, she's up against her good friend Ledecky. She's favoured to win that race as well.
I was about to say, no one said it yet. I believe Arnie will win the 200 free.
Okay.
I've seen back that 400. The monkey's off. Yep, the monkey's off the back. She's in form. That carries you through. Once you have a moment like that early on in something like the Olympics, I believe it carries you through. And I'd love to see the challenge. Can't wait for the challenge that will be presented to Arnie in this 200 free. But I reckon she wins it.
And Jared, as we've seen, Gian's been in good tipping form on Sunrise as well. So it'd be a brave man or woman to go against her.
Yes, indeed. And the pressure comes on the legend as well. Ledecky's never been in this position before where she's the one with the pressure now to prove herself.
And don't get me wrong, I still think Ledecky will come away with two individual gold medals out of here. The 8 and the 15, I think, is hers to lose. So the distance events, I think, will go Ledecky's way. But I think Arnie showing her speed, she had a fabulous 200 of the trials a few weeks ago. And so momentum on both sides. I think both these ladies are going to have quite a few medals hanging around their neck by the end of these games.
Gian, phenomenal swim by Kyle Chalmers in the fourth leg of the 4x100. Where does he stand in regards to the individual race for the 100? Where would he rank, you think, prediction for where he could possibly finish?
Well, I think after watching him in that relay, I think he wins the 100. I think he defends his title, which is a big call because for so many of the athletes, that this delay of the Olympics has challenged them in more ways than one. Kyle had shoulder surgery. There was a time when he didn't know if he'd be able to put enough training together to find that speed again. And he's one of the fiercest competitors out there. To watch him in that relay, because I think he started about fifth after the three legs before him. I think he came into the water fifth. To still hold his nerve and know the ultimate racer in him is like, I want to get going. He's an absolute beast when it comes to competition, and he would have been holding himself back to not just want to go flat out from the very first moment he hit the water, but he's still, his race, stuck to his race plan, and again, comes home like a steam train. And that's what he did. Given another 2 metres, he would have got them in silver medal position. So I think watching everyone else in that race, the great Caleb Dressel, who will be his main rival in that 100 free, looked good, but Kyle looked better. And that's very exciting.
Well, Gian, we love Olympians on this program. We also love people willing to go out on a limb and make some bold predictions few people on the show have done that the last couple of weeks, and you've done that as well. So we look forward to your predictions coming true, and we'll touch base with you later in the program. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Lovely to chat.
Jeanne Rooney there, 2004 Athens gold medalist, two-time silver medalist at Sydney as well.
Well, Jeanne got hers right.
And Sam didn't. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say anything. We'll take a break.
You are listening to Sports Day here for Red Energy, World Cancer's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That is Red Energy. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. When Jared's phone rings and I see who's on it, it's always interests me. This is a very important phone call, so I'm not sure if he's going to come back during this chat. We've got Aussie basketball great Chris Ansey on the line. I want to talk about the Boomers. Chris, welcome to you. We did a lot of things right last night in the win over Nigeria, but I just have a feeling we're going to have to be a whole lot better if we want a medal.
Yeah, we will. And you're spot on. We did a lot right. We did plenty wrong. And in some regards, that's a real positive sign because people tend to forget Nigeria have 8 guys who were on NBA rosters last year. They're very athletic. They're very talented. And they came at us with their physicality and their athleticism. And we withstood that in the first half. And, you know, Brian Gorgian's always had a saying that if you continually apply pressure over the course of a game, you'll eventually break a team. It might not be in the first half or even until the last few minutes, but you will. And I think what we saw was the defensive pressure of the Boomers led by Dante Exum and Matisse Thybulle and the offensive pressure of Paddy Mills and Joe Ingles, it eventually broke Nigeria and we really blew them out at the end of, in the end of that fourth quarter. So some very pleasing signs. Like I said, at the same time, Aaron Baines was down. He's a notoriously slow starter to international events, so we expect him to get better. And, you know, Dante Exum on the offensive end did a lot wrong. Had the right intent, did a lot wrong, but we forget he's only played less than a dozen games in the last 12 months, so we expect great improvement from those two guys in particular.
Yeah, I thought Dante's his energy was great. Like every time he had the ball or went near it, I know he made some mistakes, but he really got his teammates up and about, and we sort of know what we're going to get from a Paddy Mills. What did you make of what the team looked like without Simmons? I mean, I know we're not used to seeing what Australia looks like with Simmons, but did we operate differently to what you thought we might?
No, I thought it was pretty, it was what we expected. And the thing is, a few people have asked over the last few days, do we miss Ben Simmons? And the answer is no. And I say that because we've never had him.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What we've been able to do is keep that cohesiveness, keep that, you know, run the same types of sets. Yeah, there hasn't been a re-education by adding a really big piece. The four core guys of that group have been together now. So what we see is, you know, in a lot of ways, what we saw in Rio. Defensively, we've dialed it up a notch in the addition of Matisse Thybulle. I just think on top of Dante, on top of Aaron Baines, you know, 2 weeks ago, he'd only met Paddy and I think he'd only met Dally. He hadn't met any of the other guys on the team. So
yeah,
whatever he's doing already, he's going to do a lot more as his tournament rolls on.
That's kind of one of the big things about international basketball, isn't it? I mean, we saw it later with Team USA all over the shop against France. It's completely different to domestic basketball. The cohesion just isn't necessarily there. I mean, even with preseason camps, right?
Well, the Team USA, as you watch them in the lead-up and as you watch them against France, they're really, really dependent on talent. They're really dependent on one-on-one breakdown, moves off the dribble.
Yep.
They're not used to defending on the other end of the floor, motion with guys who don't have the basketball in their hands. That they're used to being a lot more stagnant. And they're absolutely going to beat some teams on talent alone. And I thought for the most part, they might end up beating France on talent alone. But France's ball movement, that what they were able to do as a group was a little bit too much. And then, you know, without going across every single game, but what you saw from Luka Doncic in the Slovenian game and what he was able to do to Argentina with some role players around him was really, really impressive. So to go back to your first point, yeah, we did a lot right. We need to do a lot better because there are a lot of teams out there who have their eyes on a medal.
Chris Ansey is the Aussie basketball great. Jared's back from his phone call. Must have been an important one. Jared, just talking about the fact that we got over Nigeria, did what we needed to do.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be a whole lot better when we come up against Italy on Wednesday night.
Indeed. Sorry, neighbour. I got a phone call from head office at home and just needed to have a little chat, but everything's all okay. It's been a really interesting start, but a lot of the focus is also, I think, in Australia on the women's game and our potential for a gold medal. And that's certainly been knocked around because of Liz Cambage, but it may well, as some suggest, help because the cohesion within the group may be even better.
You know what? There are so many similarities in this Olympic Games between the men's and the women's team in so far as two of the most talented players in Ben Simmons and Liz Cambage maybe don't quite fit into the cohesiveness of Australian basketball as well as the rest of the group. So while we'll undoubtedly miss their talent,
yep,
the sum of the rest of the parts I think we might find to be even greater. So the Opals are in a very similar position. Team USA are the yardstick, and they haven't played yet, so we don't know what they're like. But I expect them to start the tournament really strongly. They've had a little bit more time together than what the men have. But two genuine medal chances. But as we mentioned with the Boomers, I think there are so many teams that are a real chance for a medal. I think we lose sight oftentimes in any international sport as to how much the rest of the world's improving. And I think Tokyo in just 2 days of men's competitions already reminded us of that.
Did you still, Chris, although, you know, we made some errors, did you still see the makings of a medal team from what you saw against Nigeria?
Yeah, I did. I saw nervousness in Jock Landale. It's his first Olympic preparation. He's got a big responsibility in that starting four spot. He just looked a little bit passive. No doubt he'll be better for the run. Matisse Thybulle, I did. I just think there's a couple more gears in what we do. There's a greater ability to score the basketball, and certainly there's a greater understanding of what we want to get done as a group. And I think one thing that Brian Gorgian did really well in the first game, he got through all 12 players. He got a look at everybody. And while that may have cost us a few points in this game, I think moving forward, if we need one of those guys due to injury or due to foul trouble, it's really important to have had them see some court time in the lead-up game. So we've put ourselves in a good position. We have a very, very different proposition against Italy. Very different, less athletic, but shoot the ball much better than Nigeria, move the ball much better than Nigeria. So a completely different assignment on Wednesday evening our time. Really fascinated to see how they go against them because we should be okay with Germany.
Chris, the coverage is interesting. In some sports, it doesn't matter that there's no crowd. Other sports, it matters a lot. I don't think any sport is impacted more than AFL football from what I've seen without a crowd. How have you viewed the spectacle from your lounge chair?
I've enjoyed watching the sport. I guess being an old and retired sports person and looking through the lens of a coach at times, you see the game and not the surrounds. So I've enjoyed it. I love international basketball. You've already mentioned, Sam, it's a very different game to what domestic basketball is and to what the NBA is. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Differently, Chris.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, it's physical. Travels are called more tightly. It's such a different game. So you see adjustments, you see completely different styles. I think one thing we'll see to the Australian basketball fan is just how well the rest of the world shoots the basketball. And if there's been a weakness in Australian basketball over the last decade or so, is we just don't have many knockdown shooters, just real high-level elite shooters. And that's why Chris Golding is so dominant here in Australia, but we don't have many Chris Goldings. And what we'll see as we start to see the rest of the world is that every single nation's got two or three Chris Goldings. Mm. And when they're on the floor together, that's a scary proposition.
Chris, we'll chat later in the week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, gents.
Chris Anstey there about our potential medals in the men's and the women's basketball. It was pretty incredible, Jared, last night. And I'm an NBA lover without being obsessed with it. The difference in how they actually officiate the games is incredible. Like, I don't know another sport where it's almost a different game. I mean, you watch the NBA, they never call travel. LeBron can take four or five steps, and they just don't call it.
Why not?
They say that it's just a better spectacle if you just let the best players play and get away with 50-50 things. And also,
I think we've adopted the same model, haven't we?
Yeah, potentially.
Well, you push in the back, no problem. 10-metre kicks, no problem. Throw the ball, no problem. Bloke going for the ball, or if you feel like it, pay a tackle. If not, it's no prior opportunity.
Yeah, if you touch someone in the NBA, it's a foul. rugby tackle someone in the Olympics. It could be it's actually quite amazing if you had highlight reels of both games. People would think it's the same in soccer. It's just not. Usually a foul on one side of the world is a foul somewhere else. I think the Boomers are still a good chance to medal based on what I'm seeing.
Yep.
And Team USA are just a whole bunch of individuals that don't really look like they want to be there. They were a farcical against France. They got done late last night.
Yeah, they got smacked. They got smacked.
Favourite sport so far that you've been watching? Have you been surprised by anything? Or
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like.
Yeah.
I'll go with the reverse.
We'll start with the negative.
I turned on and I saw the tennis. That's the last thing I want to watch when I'm looking for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I like the kayaking.
Ash Barty played like that too.
Yeah, well, Ash Barty was the person they showed up. I mean, then they had the football, the soccer. Well, they're the two sports for me who've got...
Yeah, I understand.
You know, they're peripheral sports. They're not Olympic sports for me.
I get it, because you can watch them at any time of the year.
So my only Olympic experience to date, live, has been the whitewater rafting, which I like.
The slalom?
Yep.
Yeah. Really good. She's got a lot of upper body strength in
that. Oh, amazing. Amazing control of the kayak, obviously. But I haven't seen enough of it just yet. I'm watching a little bit of surfing. The surfing's slop.
Can I ask you about the surfing? Lawrence, just bear with me for a second here. We can't play the audio because we don't have the rights. Steph Gilmore, after she got eliminated, her interview was amazing, I thought. She got out and she said, look, I prioritised the wrong wave.
Yeah.
I got it wrong.
Yeah.
I let my opponent get it.
That's right.
And I got it wrong. I thought to myself, Jared, I know it's obvious for someone like you, but for a novice like me with surfing, isn't it amazing that it's not just about how good a surfer you are? There's decision-making in which wave you go for.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a little bit of luck, obviously, but it's not like you go out to a man-made swell where every wave is the same, and it's whoever's the better surfer wins. That's not it.
No, it's very much.
And what an amazing element to the sport that I didn't really consider.
Well, it's when it's head-to-head like it is at this stage of the game, and, I mean, when you've got rubbishy surf, and it's rubbish surf that they're surfing in, the odd wave comes through that's shaped better.
Right.
And if you let that person go and that enables them to be able to do two turns instead of your one turn, you've just gifted them that wave.
Yeah, and
it makes it even more frustrating if you were in position to, A, catch that wave.
Yeah,
and B,
which Steph was, right?
Exactly. And she had priority. So it was her decision to let the other person take it.
Oh.
Generally in a good swell, you know there's one coming behind it. And you let good waves go because you think there's a better one coming. But in this stuff where... you're lucky to get a turn in. If something shapes up that allows you to do two turns and you don't take it, that is
problems.
Playing with the devil.
I mean, we shouldn't laugh. I'm not laughing on Steph's expense. It was just a really interesting part of the sport for me. And she was so honest about it.
Mm.
I got it wrong. I stuffed up.
Yep.
I paid for it. Mm. And I'm out. We're going to...
Cutthroat, isn't it?
Very cutthroat.
Isn't it?
We're going to keep with Tokyo next. We get the latest from the pool with Julian Lindon. A big day for the Australians. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. We've talked a fair bit about swimming in the last hour, Jared, because it has been, well, it's been on everyone's lips, hasn't it, in Australia here.
Well, such after as the day big win today, yes.
Ariane Titmus's swim to knock off Katie Ledecky in one of the great last hundreds, Jared, it must be said, she timed her run to perfection.
And the commentary was pretty spot on as well with Torpedo.
Torpedo was on song. Basil was great. And we're going to go live to Tokyo now where we find Julian Lindon, one of the News Corp senior sports writers who's been covering all the goings on in the pool. Julian, welcome. A pretty special day.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, you know, in journalism, we like to tell ourselves that we're not meant to be cheerleaders, but how can you not support someone like Ariane in a race like that? I mean, that was just fantastic, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. We're lucky enough to be able to watch it on the box. Were you there live at the pool?
I was. And I know a lot of people think that there is no atmosphere, but I can tell you that felt as electric as anything I can remember.
Wow.
I know there's only like 10% of the crowd there, but the ones who were there, they broke all the rules. They were screaming and yelling. I'm sure you've all seen the footage of Dean Boxall going nuts. Well, that's how it felt everywhere, in the press boxes, everywhere. It was just a great race.
How much of it was, I guess, fueled? How much of the euphoria do you think was fueled by the trash talk before the swim?
Look, I think, to be honest, I think from the swimmers, probably not too much.
Yep.
So, Katie Ledecky sort of keeps very much to herself. She's pretty reserved. She doesn't really come out and, you know, say a lot of stuff. I mean, and Ariane's a bit more outspoken, but publicly they never really say much, you know, against each other. But what you do see is you see little signs. So, you know, the most visible one was at the World Championships a couple of years ago when Ledecky was just stunned that she'd been beaten and she just basically turned her back on Ariane. Ariane was like celebrating, going, wow, I've just beaten Ledecky. Turned around expecting a hug and mate, just got her back turned on her. And look, they're not the best of mates, but it's not like they hate each other or anything. Yep. You know, they don't follow each other on social media and all that sort of stuff. But I tell you what, the mutual respect they have for each other now has gone to a great level, because whether they like it or not, their lives are intertwined now. They were both part of an historical race, you know, and that'll stay with them forever.
Yep.
I just wonder, Jared, from a mental perspective, you know, you talk a lot about this in tennis with the current greats that we've got. But, I mean, everyone talks about Ledecky as the greatest female swimmer that we've had.
Mm.
And she's still at an age where she can win more, and she's just been knocked off in, you know, one of her prime races. I mean, that it's either going to – it's going to have to spur her on, is it not?
Well, I'm sure it will. She's got another couple of races to be able to, I guess, grab the gold. But
one thing we know about the greatest of all time across all sports is I hate losing.
And they don't like giving they don't tend to retire now at this age. So no. Are you assuming there's another Olympics in Ledecky?
Oh, I expect there will be.
Yeah.
Although, you know what, let's not take it for granted. She's been around a long time.
Yeah.
She started at a very young age. I was actually in Nebraska in 2012 when she was a 15-year-old and just burst on the scene. No one had ever heard of her, and she made the American team. Everyone's like, who's this kid?
Mm.
And she went to London 6 weeks later and won the gold medal. She's been in the spotlight for a long time. She's a distance swimmer. That's a lot of times following the black line up and down the pool. But also, she's very much into it, and she loves it. And now she's got a genuine rival, so I reckon she'll keep going. It's only 3 years away, Paris as well. So I expect we'll see her again. The tennis thing is great because it's a little bit like, you know, I've written a couple of times. I think the Americans sort of jumped the gun by declaring her the greatest of all time, and perhaps they haven't read their history books and heard of Dawn Fraser. But it's a little bit like us all jumping to the gun and saying that Federer was number one before Djokovic sort of got on the scene. Ariane might turn out to be better. We don't know, but she could.
Well, exciting times for us if she does. A couple of bronze medals today. Kyle Chalmers powered home to help the 4x1 get up on the podium.
How about that last 100, Jared?
Oh, mate, he's a gun, Joel Chalmers.
We were sixth.
He could have been an AFL footballer. He elected to go swimming.
What kind of player would he have been, Urien?
He would have been a darn good one if he was a better player than he was a swimmer. Centre half back, I think, a bit like his old man played for Port and for the Crows. And Brendan Smith also a bit of a surprise on the finals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, to be honest, I didn't have a lot of great expectations for the guys. We had a couple who have sort of posted some really good times in the lead up. But they're two surprises. Brendan Smith was terrific in the 400 IM a couple of days ago. And Kyle Chalmers, I mean, his swim was phenomenal. I honestly, someone said to me, like 2 minutes before the race, what chance do you give the Aussies of getting a medal here? And I said, oh, you need two teams to pull over because I don't think we can match it with them. Well, the Russians did fall over a little bit, but they swam great. They swam great. I thought they were all terrific, to be honest. Matt Temple in the leadoff was good, and Zach, and Kyle Chalmers, look, the 100 metres is such an unpredictable race because it's decided by such small margins. And Caleb Dressel, who's the favourite, also looks really in really, really good shape. But Kyle Chalmers is here to race. So he is going to be in the frame. That's going to be another terrific race to watch.
And I guess the only disappointment so far for the Dolphins, Elijah Winnington. The nerves just get to him, you think?
Yeah, look, to be honest, everybody's fired except for Elijah. And I think, he's got a lot of talent. He's a good kid. He's fine leading into Olympics were terrific. He looked like he had everything. He hasn't stopped and spoken to the media since we've been here. And Dean Boxall hasn't either, but we're actually speaking to him later today. We'll get an indication whether there was something wrong, whether he got ill, or whether it was nerves, whether he just didn't adjust to the morning finals. But look, he's a lot better than his results showed, and he's still got another chance. He's still in here in the freestyle relay, so we should see him again.
Julian, great to have you on. We'll touch base with you later in the tournament.
Good on you.
Julian Linden there from Tokyo, News Corp senior sports journo. Disappointed for Elijah, Jared, but I guess, you know, I was thinking about, it's one of those sports, swimming, where you can really be affected by nerves potentially more than other sports.
Yep.
I mean,
why is that?
Well, maybe track and field's the same, but it's decided by such small margins, and it would be so different swimming in a final to swimming at training, and different to swimming in training to swimming in a heat.
Isn't that the same for all sports? When you get nervous, blokes have bad football games, miss goals.
Yeah, but that's over the course of 2 hours. This is over the course of less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, but you're talking nerves.
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
Nerves, you can see impacts immediately in a pool. Nerves can make you miss some shots. Then your confidence gets shot and you turn yourself, yourself immolate. And you ask yourself, where did that bad performance come from? Well, originally it was probably I was nervous. I didn't play well. Then I started getting down on myself. And
a lot of those sports, you're up against someone else in a physical sense. Swimming, you really have full control, do you not? It's kind of like if you swim this time in a heat,
yep.
What is stopping you swimming that time after a rest, fully fit in a final? I mean, the answer is nothing.
In some ways, it's a closed skill.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. It's not, but in some ways it is.
Yeah. I just find it interesting, that's all.
Yep.
Felt shocking for Elijah because he had the fastest time going into the final.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
And he came seventh. So the only thing it could have been is that he
self-destructed.
He closed up a bit.
Yep.
More sports day coming at you right after this.